When Mingo died last summer, they sent over a coffin to our quarters. It was a simple wood box, narrow and short. I didn't know him well. But you don't forget a man you helped put in a coffin. He was tall. When we folded his long legs to fit in that short wood box and nailed on the lid in the middle of the summer heat, I remember being scared that he wouldn't be able to breathe in that thing. In the river, a flash of Mingo came to me. That's how being underwater felt, like lying in a coffin. I couldn't breathe, see, or move. I'd swear that water felt like pudding, heavy, wet, and smooth. I stopped, pudding still, until Ada's dress swiped my foot and woke me up. I took hold of it and started kicking and chopping at the water like I was fighting that big-faced dog all over again. Everything went swirling, and finally, I hit air. Water filled my ears and slapped my face. In my arms, Ada was swinging at the night, reaching for things that weren't there.
Homer!
She coughed. The water pushed us downriver into a churning fall. Over we went, and down under again. My head hit rocks on the river floor and clanged like a cowbell. Everything went black. I awoke, floating in the water, and Ada's arms were gone. Then I heard it. A scream. Ada had made that same scream the last time she'd been around Mistress. That scream had set Mama's mind on taking us north. I fell back into the ugly water. This time I used it to help me get farther downriver, to Ada. Ada's got a color on her, oak brown with lots of spots. I only ever seen spots like that on Master Crumb. It's those spots that led to troubles and the scream with Mistress. In the moonlight, her spots caught my eye. Ada was pressed to the riverbank, water smacking her this way and that. I kicked and fought my way to her. She grabbed onto me. We reached for roots poking out from the bank and clawed our way out of that river. When we hit land, I lay there with my head heavy and pounding. Ada coughed and spat.
"I don't think we flew that time," she sputtered.
"No, I reckon we didn't," I said.
"I think we might have needed to be running faster when we started, not just go jumping like that,"
explained Ada, like she was the one who was 12, not me. Even at 7, Ada holds tight to her dreams. I'm the opposite. If it didn't work the first time, there was no way I'd be trying it again.
"What you reckon is gonna happen now?" she asked.
I looked around, hoping for an answer.
Thin, tall, starving men trees stood at attention. Huge, fat ones with knotty trunks rested on their sides. All were covered in a tangle of vines, brush, dreamy fog, and darkness. I coughed, and the whole swap answered with a heap of grunts, growls, tweets, and squawks. The swamp heard me, and I felt anything but safe. I had my rules back at Sutherland. The most important was being invisible. Invisibility was how I survived. I'd learned that all attention, even the good kind, could be dangerous. I'd go a full day without anyone or anything even knowing I'd been there. Fetching milk, brushing horses, tending the flower garden, getting eggs, all of it done without so much as a moo from a cow or a cluck from a chicken or anyone saying my name.